You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
And that is the truth. Welcome, everyone, as you always are here on the couch. I'm Dr. Michelle Cohen. And today you're going to learn a lot about nourishing yourself. What? Are we talking about food? Yes. Are we talking about spiritually? Yes. We're talking about so many different holistic ways of taking care of you and your body and this beautiful framework that you have. And you don't have to look like all of the people who post on social media, the beautiful, fit, skinny. It's all cultural. It's all how we've learned how to eat. It's all how we nourish ourselves emotionally. And we're going to be talking about those things today. You know, in a world that just seems so obsessed with fad diets and quick fixes. I mean, that's all I see. I see some of these models on, you know, Instagram, and it's like, it's really easy to lose sight of truly what nourishes our soul. So if you're tired of those diets, which we all are, right? Those fad diets, you know, revolutionary approach on counting calories and restricting food, and you just feel like you're trapped. And then we go back to our old habits again. But today, my special guest is going to talk about how we can prevent going back into those bad habits. We're talking about her latest book, which I'll introduce in just a bit. And what you're going to learn is about a holistic journey towards intentional eating and lasting transformation. And my special guest today, we'll bring her up, Sandy Robinson. Hello, my dear.
Hi, Michelle. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited about this discussion.
Oh, me too. I loved your book. I just,
thank you.
It was the best diet book I've ever read. So let me give you the proper introduction here. Because you have, you've been doing this for so long and you've helped so many people. So for the past 25 years, Sandy Robertson has been a notable corporate and healthcare system manager, leader, and educator of wellness and obesity programs. And really, she's been in the forefront of integrative, complementary, and mind-body approaches to behavior change. So, by the way, just some of the accolades about Sandy today, besides her being an amazing author, she's a registered nurse, holds a Master of Science in Nursing, an advanced practice, and public health nurse certification. And not only that, but Sandy's a certified medical intuitive. That's really important. We'll be talking about that as well. And certified healing touch practitioner. This is the book we will be talking about today. Why am I eating this? Is this the nourishment I need? I don't know. After I read this, Sandy, I went, oh yeah, this is my kind of book, because it's lovely and easy to understand. And also, I love the psychological stuff that you put into it about nourishing this and this, our hearts, taking care of ourselves. So thank you for being such a great guest today. Super to have you.
Thank you, Michelle. I appreciate the introduction. And this book is really the summary of my life's work. As you said, I've worked for many decades, in corporate wellness, corporate health, the hospital setting, counseling, doing group nutrition seminars, weight loss prevention, again,
amazing,
hospital programs. And so this is really the combination of everything I've heard, thousands of clients,
right,
and also I've been fortunate along the way to take training at Harvard Mind Body Institute and
amazing,
learn about the mind-body connection and many other integrative and holistic approaches. And there's so much wisdom out there. And just as you said, I'm really was tired of all the diet books saying this is the answer.
Right.
Because as a holistic nurse, and I know you know this as a psychologist, there's no one right answer for everyone.
Right.
It's a personalized journey.
It sure is.
It's a personalized journey for every human being.
It is. And you know, as I said in the beginning, it's really difficult and problematic for many of us, because all we see on social media are these super buff, super skinny men and women, and super weightlifters. You have to be like this. You have to look like this. No, everybody's different. We have our own cultural heritage and DNA, and we all have to take that into consideration as well, right, Sandy?
Absolutely. And in terms of behavior change, as you're saying, you know, people look to what's trending on social media or on magazines or what their friends are doing. And a noted cardiologist who was a teacher that I first heard many years ago, Dr. Steve Sinatra, MD, wrote a book on heartbreak and heart disease. And he said there's a doorway into healing for every human being. And for everyone, it's a different doorway. And I've quoted him and used that ever since because I love that, thinking of the circle of health or wheel of health. Right, one example in my book, but there are many through the cultures. And so there's a doorway into healing, whether it's nutrition or illness or pain or depression. And there's a different doorway into weight loss for everyone, or looking at how we're eating and nourishing ourselves in different ways. It's a different doorway. So I just love to offer that to people too.
It is. That's neat. That's really neat. I think a lot of people are into it today, and I got some positive reactions from people when I put this out on social media about what we're going to be talking about. Because everybody, even if they don't want to lose weight per se or get super, you know, buff or whatever, it's something about nourishing our brains and the good food that rebuilds cells and keeps our telomeres long and all those wonderful things. So
beautiful.
We're going to be
beautiful.
Talking about that as well. And I know about your inspiration. You explained all of the work you have done with people, and we can touch a little bit on some of those patients and their issues who you've worked with. But I'm always interested in my guests and you know, the other things behind what inspired them to write things. Did you have any personal issues going on with your eating habits or weight loss? Or
yes, I did. And I touch on this in my book because I feel it's important not only to be honest, but for people to understand I was fat and heavy as a child going into junior high school. People called me Fatso and Tubbs. And said I had heavy thighs. I was a lifeguard on the beach. And I remember someone said, you know, you have heavy thighs. I was like, because I was very athletic. And I also describe in the book, growing up, I grew up as an only child in our house. And my grandmother lived with us, maternal grandmother. From wonderful German roots, but loved heavy food. Doesn't all have to be heavy. But in our home, that was the trend. And large portions, and also eat everything on your plate. And there was a lot of disharmony in the home. My father and grandmother did not get along. And he was an alternate to the Olympics, actually, for track and field when he was much younger.
Wow.
Very disciplined eater. Could say, no, thank you, I'm full. You know, stop. No, I don't care for dessert. And then my mother and grandmother was the other extreme. So it was very interesting that I grew up with these Exhibit A and Exhibit B.
It is, really.
For how to eat. Fortunately, I would say they both molded me. To be honest, I know that I used food to self-soothe as a child. To comfort myself. Plus, I was no other siblings in the home. And sometimes it was boredom or distraction or entertainment. And then fortunately going into junior high and high school, I thinned out and very athletic, and that was okay. But honestly, in college, studying nursing, that was stressful. So my weight, especially in the younger 20s and 30s, went up and down. And I think getting into the corporate wellness field was wonderful because they, you know, they say you teach what you need to learn or practice yourself.
Is that true?
It was a constant reminder. And so that has helped me maintain a lower weight and be healthy. But my roots have definitely played into what I want to offer in this book.
Yes. And I think a lot of our roots are in that as well. I similarly, you know, I grew up in a home where my mom was in a wonderful cook. I mean, amazing. And she'd cook things from scratch. And so they taste a lot better. And it was always fill up your plate. This is healthy. And that was the whole thing. And I remember having tummy aches a lot, you know, after meals and not saying much because I was supposed to eat the whole thing on the plate. So, you know, that wasn't good either. But same thing as you in a way, but, you know, it just is. It's like that. So you had some stuff and you learned it, of course, in nursing school and all the training you've been in when it comes to nutrition and health, and also working with the psychological and emotional stories that you had, as well as sharing with people. So I thought it was fascinating that you shared some of those stories. Can you do that now for our viewers and listeners so they can just sort of understand some of the reasons why we don't take care of ourselves when it comes to eating?
Well, I mentioned one, Michelle, in terms of people acknowledging, they might not say the words, I use food to self-soothe, but they know that they're numbing their emotions in some way or not wanting to deal with feelings.
Yes.
And since I'm not a psychologist, I discuss that it might be an addiction or another physiological issue in the brain, the craving center of the brain. But then I always encourage people to talk to a mental health professional who's an expert in this area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I also want to say, just sidebar for 1 second, since there's so much in the media now about weight loss drugs and the craving and addiction centers of the brain, back to the everyone's brain and physiology are different. So I really want to encourage your listeners to have personalized and thoughtful discussions with their doctors after blood tests, hormonal tests, saliva tests, to really assess their unique physiology.
And what they might be lacking in vitamins, nutrition, whatever, vitamin D, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Right, and perhaps, and again, I don't want to get too far into that area, but perhaps some vitamins or nutritional shifts might actually help improve brain chemistry and physiology. So that's a good discussion with a doctor. Other stories I've heard, people know they eat too fast, eat too much.
Right.
And, you know, it's just fascinating, as you know, people's stories. Some say, well, that's how I grew up.
Right.
Or people who have been in the armed forces have said, well, we had 5 minutes or 10 minutes to eat a meal, so we had to eat fast.
Sure.
Back to the clean your plate club. You know, that comes up a lot.
Sure.
Being taught it's impolite to leave food on the plate. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, I love the phrase, halt, am I hungry, angry, lonely, tired?
Right.
People, when you hear their stories, do admit they're possibly lonely or isolated. This came up a lot during COVID. I know a lot of my clients gained weight during COVID.
Sure.
So stress eating comes up a lot. Mm-hmm. But then getting into the working with clients with their mind, body, spirit connection, since I'm a holistic nurse and have a practice in holistic modalities, people acknowledge that they are using food for nourishment, for their main nourishment. So I work with clients one-on-one to not just help them shift their relationship with food and eating, but to look at what other forms of nourishment can you tweak a little.
Right.
Maybe it's sleep, drinking more water, family, friends, and social support, energy. I'm also an energy healer and clearing and balancing our energy systems.
Yes.
Music, you know, the arts, hobbies, mental stimulation with courses, and understanding, I've taken some mindfulness courses and mindful self-compassion, that how we care for ourselves is really a reflection of our self-love.
Ooh. Oh boy, is that true.
So I've jumped ahead, but to touch on the high points of where I love to, when people are ready, ultimately get to in terms of holistic self-care planning.
Yes, yes.
You can have all the plans in the world, but if people perhaps be best if they did work with a psychologist, mental health expert, to get underneath some of the self-care, self-love issues, then they can be supported on all levels, mind, body, spirit, emotions, and energy system.
That's beautifully said. And it's true. And you know, changing those neural patterns. And you are right on, Sandy, about people being addicted. You know, we have comfort. Part of our little brain neurons go to the comfort zone of addiction, right, whether that addiction may be, but just like any other addiction, you know, eating fills us up. It gives us that comfort, whatever it, of course, sugar. Oh, I love desserts. Sugar products are very addicting. Carbs, the best. Come on, I love to have extra cheese pizza and pasta, things like that. But I mean, I learned myself, you know, about that through my experiences. But, you know, it's just so easy because it's all about comfort and addiction and what it, taking a look, like you said, at what is really bothering us. What's, you know, the questions we need to ask. Can you touch on those as well? So I love that, the eating blueprints and, you know, the 7-step plan to eating mindfully. You have that 7-step plan. And maybe we could talk about that because a lot of people, just to jump right into it, are going, well, how can I do this? I want to know more. You know. So,
well, I love
some of those steps that are really important for people to.
I'm happy to share them, and I want to remind everyone that there are sub-steps within the 7, because I don't want it to be like this.
Sure,
oh, 7 steps and it's a panacea. So the first is really...
That's right, and that's why they need to read your book.
Yes, absolutely. They can see all the sub-steps. The sub-steps.
Right.
You know, I talk most basically about self-awareness and mindfulness, and the term mindfulness is tossed around a lot in mindful eating.
Right.
But what I even remind myself to this day about slowing down, being grateful for the food and chewing it and savoring it. I'm looking at the clock. Is it lasting 20 minutes since it takes that long for the message to get from the stomach to the brain that we've had enough?
Right.
So those are some of the sub-steps in the first
part.
Sure. Discovering your food patterns, your unique food patterns, and paying attention. And I gave an example of just, you know, neutrally without blame to any of our families or cultures, how did we grow up learning about food and what's the right amount to eat and how often? Or maybe based on friends or colleagues now, what are our food patterns? Are we snacking all day? Are we skipping meals and just eating dinner, which can play havoc with our...
That's not good.
Right. Blood sugar. Again, just like being aware of food patterns.
Cool.
And really delving into this, uncovering the mystery of your eating history with what we learned as children.
Mm-hmm.
About food, the meaning of food. Perhaps there wasn't enough, and that influenced us. For everyone, it's different. And it's, most importantly, I feel it can shift and change as we get more information and tune into, as you said, our souls, not just our body's needs, but our soul's needs.
Boy.
In this in real time, 2024.
Yes, exactly.
I really delve into self-talk.
Yeah.
It's field of psychology, cognitive restructuring, and I've been fortunate to learn a bit about it. And I love reminding people that we're always talking to ourselves. So around food, we can use positive self-talk.
Right.
In a, even a fun way. So asking the questions, why am I eating this?
You know,
right. Why would I want to put food in my body right now? Am I really hungry? Am I craving fuel? Does my body need fuel? Or perhaps do I need water?
Yes.
Or sleep? Or to go outside for 5 minutes and take a breath of fresh air and breathe and oxygenate our brain?
Yes.
So really, and then I love giving examples of self-talk at whether it's restaurants or parties of, you know, pausing and thoughtfully asking ourselves, okay, what would I like for nourishment now? Maybe I want to insert some fun into this, but maybe one piece of pizza is enough. I don't need 3 or 4.
Right.
Or a dessert table, tasting a few. I don't have to taste everything.
Right.
And then using self-talk as we're eating.
Right.
To say chew, breathe, put my utensils down.
Right.
Okay, take a bite. Chew And, Michelle, I learned something fascinating along the way, which I'm sure you've heard, that we're influenced by the speed of the people eating around us.
Oh, it's true. So it's like we mirror, right?
Yes, exactly. Whether it's our family or friends or colleagues, and they're all just rushing through food, we subconsciously can pick up the pace.
Right.
So for all of us, it really, we have to be deliberate about it. And most of the time, I'm the last one, the slowest one at the table.
Well, that's good. That's healthy.
And I, you know, say to myself, that's okay. And then a lot of times, by that time, I realize I'm full and I can take food home.
Yes.
So yes. That's, self-talk can be used in so many ways, including humor.
Yes.
gratitude.
Right.
Gratitude's part of mindful eating. Gratitude can be woven into our self-talk.
Right.
And asking ourselves some thoughtful, compassionate questions as we head into the kitchen and start opening the refrigerator or the cupboard, just because.
Right.
And two, maybe we're craving some sweetness and we think it's sugar.
Right.
But, well, what other sweetness am I really craving?
Yes.
Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's petting an animal. Maybe it's some compassionate, just intentional self-care and self-love. And then in the new material, I really delve deeper into reminding people that food is fuel. And a lot of times we think we're hungry, but does my body really need fuel right now? Think of Olympic athletes or premier athletes. Their fuel is targeted to their physiology throughout the day and keeping their blood sugar steady and their energy levels high. So if I really guide my clients to think of it as, you know, this is my energy system. This is my brain. This is my body. I want to keep it well fueled throughout the day.
Right, right.
But for my age and activity level, what's the recommended number of calories? Approximately, not to be obsessed. But if it's approximately 1,400 or 1,500 calories for a woman or approximately 1,800 calories for a man, depending on how much exercise.
That's what they say.
Restaurant meals might be 2,000 calories.
Right.
People can snack their way through 1,000 calories very easily with even trail mix and nuts and good things.
Right.
And fruit. Right.
You think, oh, this is really healthy. This is great. But we're talking calories and carbs and you know, which turn into sugars. And
so I believe that awareness is a good thing. And there can be awareness without it being obsession. Because knowledge is power.
Yes.
Whether it's weighing food or reading the labels or being conscious of a healthy plate and portion sizes, that's power. So it really encourage people to look at the timing and to ask the thoughtful questions about what else nourishes me.
Right.
And with loving self-compassion, knowing that they can reset and shift and redefine their eating blueprint for themselves.
That's beautifully said. By the way, in case you all just tuned in, here it is. Why am I eating this? This is the book. This is actually edition number 2 that you've written. Sandy Robertson, registered nurse, holds a Master of Science in Nursing, advanced practice in public health nurse certification. She's also a certified medical intuitive and certified healing touch practitioner, which is also amazing because she is empathic. Just by reading this book and talking to her briefly as I have, she understands what's going on a lot of times with people and also very caring. The book, again, Why Am I Eating This? Is this the nourishment I need? And it's not a heavy, I have to really cut down and I have to follow this diet. It's let's take a look at you and some of your unresolved issues. What other ways can you comfort yourself that would make you feel good? What are you missing maybe in your life that makes you keep going back towards those really subconscious habits of, like you said, Sandy, of, you know, going into the pantry and getting the junk, the stuff, the chips, the nuts, the trail mix, all that stuff. They say, oh, well, the trail mix is healthy for you. Oh, my gosh, look at a quarter of a cup and how many calories and carbs are in that. maybe switch it out for something that's yummy. But again, this is not focusing on punishment or deprivation. It's on self-love and self-care. So that's the part also that I really love that you bring into this book, because it's also a workbook. You also ask, you also have meditations at the end of chapters. You have a workbook, so we can ask ourselves questions, write them down, and you can keep a journal of these things in this book as well. As, oh my gosh, what did I do today? Or what did I do? You know, I have to, okay, I'm going to downshift now and think about, yikes, what I was feeling and why I was cramming the food, that kind of thing. And subconsciously, just self-comforting. Why? Why? I'm overworked. I'm stressed. My manager's giving me a hard time. I've been really isolated this week. That kind of thing. So it's all here in the book, and it will help you ask these questions about yourself. So we'll talk about some of those tools as well. Another thing that you mentioned in your book, which I really appreciated, Sandy, was about savoring. And you talk, you know, because you are a slower eater and you do chew slower and you are mindful of the digestion. Savoring the flavor, isn't that what it's about for us? Instead of just gulping food down and filling us up.
Well, that's really the point, Michelle. Thank you for bringing that up, that food is meant to be savored, I believe. And it's also something that might steer us towards the healthiest options. It doesn't have to be organic necessarily, but fresh fruits and vegetables. Right. You know, they say eat the colors of the rainbow. And a lot of vegetables require chewing, which is a good thing. Because the first entry point of digestion is the mouth and chewing, where the food gets broken down and saliva starts. And that's necessary for good digestion, to have the food broken down. So you can look at any way you want, but you're savoring the taste. But it's also a gift to yourself. Yeah. To aid in your digestion, starting in your mouth. Yeah. And you brought up a really good point, Michelle, about some people just want to chew and swallow and chew and swallow fast. And you can speak more directly to this, maybe why, about what people are craving or what are they really hungry for? There's a great book from many years ago called The Hungry Soul.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
And it actually goes through the evolution of eating and, you know, the caveman eating with your hands and progress and evolution of eating with utensils, but still underneath for all of us, that primal need to eat. And so sometimes I believe there's maybe something else going on of why people want to eat fast and shove food in. So mindful eating for some people, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, may bring up initially feelings of, well, this isn't enough. I don't feel satisfied. However, if people one step of mindful eating, letting the meal last at least 20 minutes and fill up, especially with lots of fiber and vegetables and salad and the colors of the rainbow, that can help them feel that satiety of feeling satisfied. But perhaps you can speak a little more to that too, of how that's a trap for some people. Wow, I want more and more and more food.
Oh, I understand. And from my point of view, and thanks, that's a great question. from my point of view, like to explore why is it not enough? Can you, like you share, and you in your meditation say, take a breath, think about it, let's talk about it. You know, I go to why is it not enough? What is enough to you? You know, what does that mean to you? What is enough? Is my tummy full? Am I numbed out now to where I can kind of go back to my workplace or whatever that fulfillment is? That's the way I address it is, you know, as you talk about mindful eating, what is not enough? And again, you don't have to restrict yourself. You can treat yourself to things, but I don't know. It's about portions. It's about, you know, I was working with this woman for years, and she's moved and apparently doing well, so thank goodness. But we worked for years. I haven't seen her in a really long time, but It was really a tragic thing psychologically. She said, I can never eat enough. I can never get enough. And she did eat a lot of junk food. And she got to the point where she was morbidly obese. And we go over, you know, with her dietitian, certain plans and ideas, and she'd get really angry and all that. Well, there was a deep psychological issue that we worked with finally and got that out. So to your point of why am I eating this? Why? Huh? We have to explore psychological things. And as it turns out, this lovely young woman had been molested when she was younger by several men in her family. And it came out that she felt that if she was very unattractive and obese, she wouldn't be attractive anymore, and she wouldn't have to deal with being molested. It was that bad. So we got her feeling safe. We uncovered all that. And that was a deep psychological reason for just, and of course, numbing down her feelings of the trauma. And we all have trauma in certain areas, whatever that might be. We all have our own traumas, but it's just, you know, the point of numbing yourself down. But her subconscious intention was, I'm going to make myself totally unattractive so no one will rape me, basically. And that's so sad. You know, and I didn't mean to go off on this tangent, but
I'm glad you did. I'm really glad you did for your listeners, Michelle, because I've heard similar stories and thousands of stories. And unfortunately, people have been in the military. Sometimes military sexual trauma is an issue, but you don't have to have been in the military to have been molested. And I think there are variations of that theme with trauma and how people have learned to use food for protection. And I can relate to that too, to, you know, a smaller degree, but still it's different for everyone. And really, that's part of the impetus of this book, especially the second edition too, about nourishment. Because for everyone, self-honesty of getting underneath that, why is this amount of food, this is the right amount for me physiologically, is not enough. Like you said, what is not enough? Or why do I feel perhaps I'm not enough? Or some variation. And how am I using food? And I, the other reason I think this is so important, back to so much in the media now about weight loss drugs and medication, and that that's the answer. And maybe for some people it is the answer, but I believe so strongly that that psychological piece of support can be very, very valuable and like a fulcrum of providing insights and wisdom to our soul and our nature, and then put it all together. You know, if someone does need the medication, that's fine. But to do the behavioral, psychological, spiritual, and energetic work of memories and trauma that perhaps are trapped in our energy system, which is the other reason I love energy healing.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. A couple of weeks ago, I had on a specialist who was all about the art of Ho'oponopono. You probably know what that is. And that's sort of an ancient Hawaiian self-love technique that explores taking care of ourself, our inner self, and self-love, and caring for ourselves first. It's going within rather than what's out there that I can grab and shove in my face and make me feel better in here. It's what is in here that we can work on to love ourselves and take care of ourselves. And so people go, well, I don't want to be narcissistic. It's not, no, it has nothing to do with that. It's, I love, you know, this frame. I love this 3D embodiment that I have, and what can I do to keep it well and healthy? It's not about how I look necessarily. It's what can I do to love myself and nourish myself, not only emotionally, but of course physically, with the right stuff that you put into your mouth.
It's a reflection of how much we care and love for ourselves. And that's the other message, really. Excuse me, that I'm so excited to share in my book.
Oh, it's great. I love it.
Self-love and self-care
Right.
Drives our behaviors and actions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's so true. It really is. And how would you describe, you know, you are a certified medical intuitive and healing touch practitioner. Can you tell us a little bit more about that work that you do?
Yes, I'd be happy to. As a nurse, I was fortunate through a lot of the holistic nursing trainings to have the opportunity to take healing touch, which is similar to Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
It's overseen by a nursing organization. And so I was able to become certified ultimately in healing touch.
Oh,
and the way I describe it most basically is that we're all made up of energy in an energy system.
Yep.
And it can actually go out in front of us several feet and can move, go out and come in depending on what's going on around us, people, mm-hmm. environments.
Mm-hmm.
So that, again, with training, that we can, putting our hands, you know, even above the body several inches,
right,
tune
right.
into and feel, and this is with someone's permission, their mm-hmm. energy system.
Mm-hmm.
Frequently, whether it's pain or discomfort or physical upset, psychological upset is reflected in mm-hmm. the energy field, mm-hmm. even a headache.
Yeah.
So, and I've given some lectures to doctors and medical students that through the centuries in every, almost every culture and tradition, bringing in energy from the sun or the universe and offering it through the hands has been going on for thousands of years. So it's not a new practice,
yes.
of the combination of
yes.
clearing someone's energy system, thinking of it as
right.
raking or
right.
clearing, and then infusing, mm-hmm. nurturing, heart-centered energy to the spots in their body that maybe you're feeling discomfort,
mm-hmm.
and or sometimes
mm-hmm.
people want it for stress management or relaxation to connect mm-hmm. the main energy centers, just inviting them to flow
mm-hmm.
better.
I love
people
that.
Have had
mm-hmm.
remarkable improvements in pain reduction, improvement in sleep, clearer thinking, and an overall vibrancy, I would say. It's so
mm-hmm.
interesting at the end of an energy healing session. Generally, my clients feel mm-hmm. you know, more awake, alert, vibrant.
Right.
It's really a beautiful thing. So I encourage people to find an energy healing practitioner near them. I also do remote sessions. And
mm-hmm.
I also give
mm-hmm.
the analogy, Tai Chi, yoga, acupuncture.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about moving and clearing energy. So there might be something for everyone, might be drawn more to some practices more than other. Even sound
mm-hmm.
healing can move
sure.
energy. So
sure.
I think it's just beautiful to
yes.
assist the energy system, since we're all made up of energy.
Boy,
and to nurture.
I agree.
To nurture
it's so
our
true.
Energy systems.
Yes, yes. And I think it all starts here. You know, I was blessed enough to be able to interview Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he was telling me about exactly what you were talking about, Sandy, about some of the studies done in the HeartMath Institute in Palo Alto about how others can pick up our energy and how we are radiating, whatever you want to use, whatever word you want to use, how our energy can be as much as 3 meters, which is 8 to 9 feet, that other people are picking up. So when I do some of my body language translation work, or what is this person really saying with their body, I always try to suggest that it's not only reading someone's facial expressions or their bodily expressions, what they're doing, it's also about our own energy and what we're picking up from others. It's not to, you know, it's not a science necessarily. It's just, you know, you go back to repetitions of, well, usually when people are nervous, they do this, you know, whatever. They start speaking rapidly or waving their arms around when they're adamant or nervous, or you just have to put that into a certain type of context, whatever the situation might be, especially in forensic cases. But I find that it's really largely the amount of energy we're reading from people, we're picking up from people, and then discerning, is that our own stuff going on? And that's what I know you're an expert at. You have to sort of delineate between, is that my energy? How am I feeling today? How can I just totally clear and feel their energy? I mean, that's a lot of work and study, and I really applaud you for what you do in that work. That's amazing.
Thank you. Thank you. It is a constant reminder, as you're saying, Michelle, of if I'm feeling off and I'm in a conversation with a friend and the conversation kind of feels off, and I'm I ask myself, well, is that me? Is that her? Or the combination of both my husband? And sometimes when we're honest with ourselves, I could say, you know what? I'm feeling off today. I'm tired. I'm kind of not surprised that for whatever reason, the connections, it's fine, but it's not, you know, we feel that when things kind of ping with communications with each other. So another reason I think it's great for all of us to clear and balance our energy systems to keep them pristine and just clear for us.
Mm-hmm. And there are so many ways in which we can do that. Sometimes, you know, again, and you offer in your book meditations to just breathe and think about some of these things. Say these things to yourself. Ask yourself these questions. Allow yourself to just take a breath, take some time. And this is also, it's not necessarily about eating and nourishment. It's also, you know, about just calming yourself and getting to a place where you're feeling really much better. I think consciousness and frequencies, you know, which they're working on, of course, and have been. But physicists, you know, there's a whole rush of books out now about quantum consciousness, you know, and about the frequencies we're putting out and about how to understand where we can tap into our own connection to everything and become one with and calm ourselves, that kind of thing. So this is a whole thing now. It's been around for a very long time, but I think a lot of people are catching on to, I guess what I'm saying is their own, managing their own empowerment, their own frequencies, being self-aware. And when they're feeling off, to sort of try to balance or redirect how to feel better, how to center themselves, how to, like Dr. Joe told me, he said, treat yourself sometimes like a dog. Be quiet. Sit. Relax. Pet yourself emotionally. Take your time. And you know, just taking time and not rushing through everything. Don't rush. Everything is fast. Everything we're reading. Everything we're taking in, it comes so quickly now. And I think that's also why we're seeing a lot of people, and I know you have too, who have the generalized anxiety. The brain is always going because there's so much input out there to translate, right? And when our brains are always going 100 miles an hour, it's getting back to your book, it's so easy to not consciously think about what we're putting in our mouth to eat, right?
People are multitasking, eating while they're on their phones and or watching TV or both, perhaps, all three, and talking to people. Like you said, overstimulated, I find a lot by just the environment, the pace in our lives for many people. And I recommend to my clients that they keep some kind of daily mind, body, spirit, energetic self-care. You don't have to call it a journal or tracking, but just that awareness of, okay, I only got 4 hours of sleep last night. How do I feel? Oh, I'm craving carbs and sugar all morning. Oh, you know what? I didn't get enough sleep. Perhaps, especially for empaths, if someone feels overstimulated and kind of, you know, off, to take a moment. You talked about all the energetic information out there, books on grounding and earthing, which I love.
Me too.
And I love that they talk about hugging a tree.
Yes.
Of course, you know, had a bad connotation for some people from the 60s. But I've actually, like, reading those books, Dr. Sinatra was actually a co-author of one, and remember reading, okay, tune into the tree and, you know, just it feels right for you. So there are many ways and traditions and practices for people to tune into what makes them happy or gives them comfort or grounding or balancing.
Yes.
Mind, body, spirit. energetically and to design and create their own little toolkit for them. And it could change not just daily, but hourly.
Yes. Yes.
So I love that too, that it's all different and it might change several times during a day.
Right.
What feels helpful.
It's so true that you said that. And, you know, the connotation, I love that about hugging a tree. I was listening to this interview, excuse me, the other day. I think it was on Gaia TV. And this one gentleman, Emery Smith, was interviewing a military expert to train people in remote viewing. And he was training soldiers primarily in the military in remote viewing. Check it out if you don't know what it is. But it's being more intuitive, taking yourself and finding out, just being more psychic, putting yourself in another location mentally. They use that during World War II, I guess. They started doing that. We got it primarily, I believe, from the Soviet Union, from Russia at the time. But my point is in this interview, the expert said to the military guys who he was training, they said, how can we do this? We were so excited about learning how to meditate and become more intuitive as soldiers and or military, whatever their expertise was. And he said, go hug a tree. Come back and tell me the energy you feel.
I love that.
Heavy. I went, wait a minute. This hardcore military guy is teaching people intuition by, and he just, first thing he says is, go hug a tree. These guys are looking at him like, right. but it is. It's about everything has a frequency. Everything. Plants. Like the grounding theory about the earth and the Schumann frequency. And everything has energy and a frequency. And to your point also, we have to get to balancing our own, which is such a wonderful, healthy thing to do that you share in your book. Why am I eating this? Is this the nourishment I need? It's a really terrific book. It's also got worksheets in it, so you can journal, as Sandy was saying. Also, there are meditations you can do. And very psychological, Sandy. This is what I loved also about your book. I've never read a really mindful book about being psychological and trying to figure out what's going on within you that's causing you to do this. So, besides the eat everything on your plate, folks, you know, what are some of the things within you that keep you in this habitual thing? I'm just not thinking about why you're eating it. So,
thank you for saying that, Michelle. I've worked with a lot of psychologists through the years, and as I said, I was fortunate to take some great training on behavioral medicine and just learn from people around me. But there's a lot in the media too these days about eating intuitively and intuitive eating, and I love that concept. And
yes,
some people might not understand what that means for them necessarily, especially if they're not used to tuning in to their own bodies and
right,
being present with their own bodies.
Right.
So back to the theme of there's something for everyone and a doorway into even mindful eating, just by the terms that we use.
Right.
So that's why I try to give a potpourri of whether it's self-talk or questions or fun or humor or terms, that there's something for everyone, especially
right,
for perhaps people who have not done or looked at it from a deep psychological place yet. This might be a doorway into that for them, to
yes,
then go talk to an expert like you about it.
Oh, well, thank you so much for that. It's a beautiful book, and I thank you so much. It's about that time. We're almost wrapping up here, but I wanted to make sure that viewers and listeners to our LA Top Radio station can get in touch with you, find out more about you and your work. And I understand it's energyworkswisdom.com. Is
yes,
that right?
Okay. Yes. Thank
what a
you,
great idea for a website. Energyworkswisdom.com. Again, Sandy Robertson, amazing training and energy healer. I mean, master's in registered nursing and holistic. I mean, you have such a huge amount of training that you've done. And I thank you so much for being such a great guest on my show today.
Thank you, Michelle. Oh, you're great. I loved your questions and thoughtful dialogue, and that you really get what's underneath all this wisdom and fun too. So thank you.
Well, I appreciate all you do for other people. And I don't know if I get it all, but it's a work in progress. But thank you again. And really, I'm looking forward to your next book. I know you're probably working on something else as well. So blessings to you, my dear, and take good care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, guys, check out the book, Why Am I Eating This? And is this really the nourishment I need? It's nourishment for yourself and your soul as well. Thanks for joining me. And as I always say, take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. Bye-bye now.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.